ball is high, it is far, it is gone to win the game.
The Mets are on their way back.
World champions for the 27th time.
Home plate for all things Major League Baseball. This is the Nosebleeds Podcast on WFUV Sports.
Welcome into a very special emergency episode of Nosebleeds. That emergency, obviously, Juan Soto signs with the Mets for 15 years, $765 million. Ooh. The largest deal in sports history. To talk you through it, I'm Nick Guzman, a Mets fan alongside Jack Warner, a Red Sox fan, Owen Kelty, a Yankees fan, an Angel in the back, also a Yankees fan. A variety of emotions, a variety of perspectives on this huge, huge free agent signing, the biggest ever in sports. I can't believe he signed with the Mets. I can't.
I can, but it's one of those things that just because this was so highly anticipated, like I can't believe it finally happened. After all of the, you know, anticipation from the second the season ended, the second the Yankees lost that World Series, you know, we were obviously all very, very anxiously waiting to see where Juan Soto would go. And I think there were times throughout this process where I very pessimistically was like, guys, we're going to be hanging on his every word until February. He's going to take his sweet time trying to figure out who's going to pay him the most money. And then you hear all the outlets talking about there's going to be rounds of bidding, and it's almost going to be like a silent auction. So for him to finally make the move, I'm not surprised that he ends up a Met. I always found that Steve Cohen was the most, intimidating figure, the most dangerous figure in terms of, you know, the GMs battling for him. We got a lot to talk about, but yeah, I mean, there's so many different emotions taking this all in. There's excitement, there's astonishment, there's fascination, and there's even me kind of being happy this is over, which we'll get into that. I have some takes to get off about that. Just the constant news cycle. I don't think I'm gonna miss it, but the biggest we're witnessing history. Owen, I'm sure you're not gonna have as giddy of a take on it as I do.
Yeah, a lot of the emotions for me are just sadness. I mean. I was so confident all the way through this whole thing that he was going to end up a Yankee again until I think around like 8 Sunday night, there was a report from, I don't remember who it was, but that the Mets went to $800 million. And then when I saw that report, I was like, it's over. And I always felt like if the Mets went like $50 million over what the Yankees offered, he was going to end up a Met. But I didn't think like when it first came out, the $5 million, I was like, there's no way, because I thought if it was close, he was going to come back to the Yankees, and that's why I was so confident, which in the end, it really came down to like whoever's going to offer the most money. But just I think for me, it hurt so much because I was so confident that he was going to be back, and then just seeing that $800 million, I was like, well, if you gave me $800 million, I think I'd become a Mets fan for the rest of my life too. But just the reaction from when it happened was streaming Fortnite at the time, so that the reaction is out there on someone's Twitch account of my reaction right away.
You were on Twitch?
My friend was streaming on Twitch while I was playing, you know, some OG Fortnite.
That's awesome.
I saw the notification and, you know, phone might have got sent through the wall. Xbox got a little unplugged, so it wasn't a good reaction. But after a couple, you know, days have gone by, I've sort of, you know, come to terms with it.
Angel, what about you on that fateful Sunday night? What was your reaction, your initial reaction?
It's funny because my father was trying to talk to me about, like, stocks and education at the moment, and I'm just reading my Twitter, just like not paying attention at all in like days. But to like Owen's point, I was so confident he was gonna be Yankee until that moment I heard about $800 million, and now that some, you know, a couple of days have kind of gone by, I don't want to say I'm glad that Soto's not on my team, but I'm glad I'm not giving Soto almost $800 million for 15 years when I guess the Yankees can now use that for multiple players, and we'll see how that goes.
So this is the full deal. So on paper, it's 15 years, $765 million with a full no trade clause, $75 million signing bonus, an opt-out after 5 seasons, and no deferred money. But the Mets can void that opt-out after the 2029 season if they boost the average annual value of the final 10 years of his deal from $51 million to $55 million, and that's where the deal turns from a $765 million deal to a 15-year, $805 million deal. For $53.66 million
insane.
Annually.
So much money.
That is so, so, so much money, more than any other athlete has gotten before. And do you feel like that number is just going to keep going higher as we continue to move forward here just in time?
It will, but only if contract deferrals become a more popular practice. Because right now, obviously, the one thing that a lot of people are watching in a very frustrated manner, if you're not a Dodgers fan, is seeing the Dodgers now have well over $1 billion in payroll, but having so much of it be in deferred money that it's not really a huge gaping hole in their wallet right now. I think the value and this, you know, whoever's going to be the next top dog, I do think it will continue to climb. I don't think it means that every free agency, the biggest guy is going to be the next one to dethrone the offer. Like, I do think it's going to take, you know, the next generational talent. But I think this Juan Soto deal, while as a Red Sox fan, I'm envious of the fact that the Mets got him. And he's a good enough player in my eyes to where I'm happy that the Yankees don't have him anymore. I can say all of that and tell you how he's a future Hall of Famer and tell you all these things and still be completely honest with you. I don't think he's worth $765 million or at the most $800 million.
Is any player worth $800 million?
I don't think so.
Ever?
I don't think so, because if your name is not Shohei Ohtani or Aaron Judge right now, I don't think so. Honestly, I don't even know if I can think of a pitcher that would get up in that, you know, that realm either. I think what this happened to be was Juan Soto becoming a free agent in the right place at the right time. Again, is he a future Hall of Famer? Yes. Will he be the face of the league for the years to come? Yes. Is his resume ridiculous for how young in the league he is, or how young he is in comparison to the rest of the league? 100%. It's just fascinating to me because this is a guy who I had several criticisms of throughout the season defensively, as did many other people. The bat was undeniable. The eye at the plate is undeniable. So again, I wanted the Red Sox to get him. I was hoping that they would. I was hoping for good news on Sunday night, and I didn't get it. But it's fascinating to me that I really do think it's a lot of this has to do with the time he became available. I think if some circumstances were different, I don't know if this would be the contract he'd be signing.
Yeah, I really agree with you on that one. I think, you know, this contract, when you really look at it and his defense, it's going to age like horribly. But like, as a Yankee fan, I want it to be my contract that ages horribly.
Right.
It was like the same thing with the A-Rod contract 20 years ago. It was like everyone knew at the time that at the end of that contract it was going to be terrible. But at the time you give it to him, it's like you look at the first 6 years, you're like, all right, so we have 6 years of peak Juan Soto. I mean, probably more now for the Mets since he's only 26. But I think what you said is best, like, this was the perfect circumstances for him. He's 26 years old, youngest free agent on the market. I mean, probably the youngest. This is like the highest quality player you'll ever get at 26 years old, because no one ever really hits free agency this young anymore. And he hit in front of Aaron Judge all year and had a career year. Like, if he stays on the Padres, I don't think he gets anywhere near $800 million. It's probably around high fives, low sixes. I think him playing with Aaron Judge batting in front of Aaron Judge boosted a lot of his stats and helped raise his market value, especially showing that he can play in New York and show up in the playoffs and really not carry a team to the World Series, but got a team over the hump that they couldn't get over in the last 15 years.
And I think everybody pretty much knows that Juan Soto, not the greatest defender right now at age 26.
Yeah, he'll be a DH probably in 6 years.
I'd agree with that. 6-7 years, age 32, 33, yeah. He's probably going to be a DH. But the eye, like you mentioned, Jack, is undeniable. It's the best in baseball.
Best on-base percentage every season since 19?
Yeah,
since
and that's
year?
Something that's going to that's
never
going to
go away
gonna,
until he's probably
and
like
that's something
36.
That's going to age incredibly well. So Juan Soto will still have value even after his legs go. But I think we should talk about what this does both for the Mets and for the Yankees in the present. Because for the Mets, like you said in our mic check, Jack, goodbye to Jesse Winker.
Yeah, I was going to say, it
was fun.
There's just certain guys now that are not a factor anymore, because, like, now you have an everyday right fielder.
Now you have an everyday right fielder in Juan Soto. You have an MVP candidate shortstop for Francisco Lindor. Mark Vientos emerging, whether or not you want to play him at third or at first. You can still potentially re-sign Pete Alonso. I think a lot of people after the Soto deal was done were pointing to the holes still in the pitching staff, the moves you made so far as you signed Frankie Montas, and then you plan on converting Clay Holmes to a starter. So as the rotation looks right now, pretty barren, doesn't look great, but I think there's still so many moves out there to be made. There's talk of still
trying to re-sign Sean Manaea.
Well, exactly.
And all the other free agents on the market. It's only December 10th.
And I think at this point, it's a must that they sign Sean Manaea because, you know, that was, I think if we look back, I know every player had kind of their peaks and valleys throughout the season, but Sean Manaea was the Mets guy last year. I mean, there was no more impressive, there probably wasn't a more impressive pitcher. And seeing the way that he pitched in the postseason, especially, I know the Dodger series kind of went haywire for everybody, but up until that point, the way that he pitched in the postseason, you think about sort of the improvement that he's made since San Diego and San Francisco. That should be your guy, and especially with Luis Severino going to the highest bidder in the Oakland Athletics, I think that kind of intensifies more the move that they need to make, bringing Sean Manaea back. As far as Juan Soto, I think, again, the Mets played a very rotational outfield last season.
Very.
It was very much based off pitching matchups. So sometimes it was Nimmo, Bader, Marte. Sometimes it was Bader, Winker, Nimmo. Sometimes it was Marte, Bader, Nimmo. There was all sorts of different combinations you saw. So you're going to see, unless he needs a night off for some rest or some maintenance, you're not seeing Juan Soto sit the bench, especially for what they're paying him. So you're probably going to see a personnel change in their outfield depth. Who it is, who's the best person that they keep, or who's the best person to let go, I'm not entirely sure yet, because you think you get different things from different players. You get more of an offensive spark plug from Jesse Winker, but you get an above league average to upper echelon of the league defensive outfield from Harrison Bader. So I think they have an interesting decision to make out there in that regard.
I think also when you look at, do the Mets have like a full-time DH, or is that a rotation? Like they rotate that?
I mean, last year was J.D. Martinez, but that's
so
yeah.
I think you also look at like that outfield with Soto, and if you have Marte, like both aren't great defenders. So I think they'll look at rotating in and out of like the DH every day, because it was different with the Yankees. Like Stanton can only DH, so Soto had to play the field every day. I think you take advantage of using that DH spot, not signing a guy that like a J.D. Martinez that's stuck there, and trying to use take advantage of that. But I mean, their rotation is kind of bare right now. I don't know how I feel about the Clay Holmes converting to starter. I don't really see how his stuff translates to being a starter and being able to cover that many innings. I know he started as a starter with the Pirates, but before he came to the Yankees, he was really bad. And I mean, he throws high miles per hour. Like, I don't see that translating to being a starter, but I think they'll still be in on a guy like Corbin Burns. I mean,
yeah,
the Mets, like, I don't think that they don't believe in a salary cap. Steve Cohen's got unlimited money. Like, you talk about, I think Pete Alonso could be back. They could bring in Corbin Burns. Like, he doesn't care about the luxury tax. So I don't know, though. Like, do Mets fans really want Pete Alonso back? Is that like a—
I think at this point they do.
I think they want him. I think now, a lot of time, the conversation at the end of the season was, I think, before people had— everyone knew that Steve Cohen was willing to pay. But I don't think it was until the contract negotiations happening and people starting to get an idea for what Soto was really going to go for that people started to get an idea of, like, oh, wow, like, Cohen does not give a bleep. Like, he's going to pay as much as he needs, and he really will sign a blank check and throw blank checks around. I think before people had an understanding of that, Mets fans were under the impression that they were in a position of having to free up space for Juan Soto and saying, hey, I guess signing Soto is going to come at the cost of letting certain people walk and not re-signing them and replacing them in some way. Now that Soto's out of the way and they're, you know, I think they're well aware of the, I won't say reckless, but the abundant manner in which Steve Cohen is willing to pay. I think now, because of the vibes guy that Pete Alonso is, that he is a beloved Met. He's a lifetime Met so far. And right now, he's your only active Met who could be your, like, born a Met, die a Met, great baseball player. Yeah. You know, he's somebody who, I understand he dropped the ball this past season when you look at full season stats, but he, in such a short amount of time, carved himself into so many Mets leaderboards. And
oh, it changed batting, the narrative in the
people
play.
People have very short memories.
Exactly.
Like, if he doesn't hit some of those playoff home
runs,
if
he doesn't hit that Brewers home run, no Met fan wants him back.
If we lose in game three of that wild card, there's no chance we're re-signing Pete Alonso.
Yep.
Because he was really underwhelming last season.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying, yeah.
But now, since it's become very apparent that money is not an issue, and we're pretty much just playing fantasy baseball here, and like, you can sign whoever you want, and Steve Cohen's just going to do it because he has too much money, then I think, most Mets fans at this point want to sign Pete Alonso. I also just say, in regards to Clay Holmes, I also don't really see it, but I think what Jeremy Hefner was able to do last year with Severino coming off a really terrible year and getting him to bounce back, getting him a nice contract in Oakland. Sean Manaea having an absolutely career year after making some mechanical adjustments midseason. I think he's proven that he can take maybe these guys that have sort of been outcasted or you don't necessarily see Clay Holmes as a starter and be able to – I think he's starting to earn the reputation of being this Mets team being a coaching staff that's able to do that.
I see one of two options. It's either they are able to sort of form him back into a starter, like Owen mentioned, he was very, very early in his career. Or the other option is, I don't think you saw besides the first 10 saves of this past season, like before he fizzled out really badly, besides maybe that, I don't think you saw Clay Holmes more dominant with the Yankees than when he was a setup guy. So that's the other thing. If they can't morph him into the proper starter that can, you know, meet the needs of the Mets rotation, a setup guy is always valuable. A guy that can come in the seventh and set things up, make sure that Edwin Diaz, who can be very erratic sometimes for as
pretty
good as he is.
Pretty similar pitchers when it came to last year, last couple of
years. 100%.
Like if they're locked in, it's three up, three down.
But like they have stretches where they're like, it's kind of similar to like Julius Randle playing basketball. It's like they'll have like a month and a half where you're just like, what is this guy doing?
It's Clay Holmes and Edwin Diaz both have provided me with some of the most beautiful and hideous pitching I've ever seen in my life. They are very similar in that regard. But point being is, you know, I don't think that there was a whole lot of fear throughout the season this past season for Mets fans when you're in the ninth. Like, I understood Edwin Diaz had his ups and downs. But, like, a lot of times when you look at the last two or three Mets seasons, a lot of their inconsistency in the bullpen was always their setup guys. It was somebody giving you, you know, a good, you know, 5 2/3, 6 innings, 7 1/3, and then Adam Ottavino coming in the seventh.
They didn't really have one last year.
Yeah, and being god awful. So I also think there could be some great value. Now, do I think that it might be an expensive price that they just paid for Clay Holmes to have him only be a setup guy? Yeah, that's why I'm in agreement that they should try to make him a starter. But you can, I'm very confident that if he doesn't work out as a starter, if you give him his time and it doesn't translate the way you want it to, I really liked what I saw from him as a Yankees setup guy.
I also think when you look at the rotation, if you didn't have him as a starter, like a lot of those guys have high ceilings in the playoffs, but it's going to be hard to make it through a 162-game season, I think, with those guys that you have in the rotation right now.
Yeah, I think
like,
you need to make another.
Just eating innings. Like, you need maybe just innings eaters that like aren't great pitchers, but like they won't get hurt. They'll have a full ERA, but they'll give you a full season of mid. But like just to get you to the playoffs,
32
you need
starts.
Guys, you need a guy that can just eat innings.
I wonder what Walker Buehler's price is gonna be.
I mean, he declined the qualifying offer, which is what, 21.
Yeah.
So he thinks he's probably gonna get more than that.
Because I was going to say, he's someone that I'm kind of pestering the Red Sox to get.
Yeah.
But
just based on the playoffs.
Yeah. I mean,
he missed most last year coming off Tommy.
And honestly, really just based off the NLCS in the World Series, in the divisional, he was awful.
Yeah.
Was it the Wild? No, they weren't in the Wild.
He got blown up in one of the
He got killed by the Padres.
In the division series. Yeah, in the division series, he got destroyed. I want to sort of bring the conversation back to Juan Soto for one second because I just wanted to kind of get your guys' feelings on this because I gave a very colorful rant on One-on-One the other day. I called in, and one of the things that I talked about, and it's actually funny that he must have heard me. Scott Boras must have tapped my phone lines and, like, granted me my wish because Soto signed about 29 hours after I made this call. I called into One-on-One, and essentially I said that this Juan Soto sweepstakes, while indeed was exciting, in quotation marks, ruined exciting free agencies for me. And the reason that I said that was because I understand that we are all passionate baseball fans. I understand that this sport, we miss it. We're already looking forward to the next season. I understood that this was generational money that we were talking about. I could not be happier that this is over so that I don't have to go back into the 24-hour infection cycle that was Mets Twitter, that was Yankees Twitter, that was all the Twitters. I am so happy that Jeff Passan does not have to send a tweet on Christmas like he did on Thanksgiving, reminding people to enjoy time with their families and stay off Twitter and stop talking about Juan Soto. I am so happy that we're not getting hypothetical lineups anymore on Twitter. I'm so happy of all these things because I love this sport. It's my first love. It's my everything. But it became insufferable at a certain point. It became, I said on one on my exact words on one-on-one was, it got to a point where these people on Twitter are practically tweeting what this guy's having for breakfast.
And I mean, it's not just it's just the whole thing of like, okay, Juan Soto met with the Yankees. It was a good meeting. Then he met with the Mets. That was a good meeting too. Met with the Red Sox. They had a good meeting. A lot of good things to say. It's like, what are we doing here in the grand scheme of things? I'm with you with what you're saying. I'm so glad this saga is done. It just seems like because it was something to talk about, people attacked it from every single possible angle. Hypothetical lineups, hypothetical, you know, luxury tax, all that, and it just seemed like. I'm just so happy it's done.
Yeah.
I'm so happy it's done.
My thing with it was, like, it wasn't, like, fun. Like, I felt like with Ohtani's, like, people were tracking private jets. Like, people were trying to find out where he was going. I thought that was, like, maybe because it wasn't my team wasn't involved in it.
Bob Nightingale was tweeting blatantly false things.
Like, I thought, like, the Ohtani one was so much more fun because, like, the stuff that was going into it. Like, what was the name of his dog? Like, his dog had the name of where he was going. Like, the Soto one, it was just constant fake information, misinformation out there. Like, nothing was true that was getting posted until the very end. And it felt like, I guess it's different because it's my, like, team was involved. So I'm a lot more stressed than looking at it from, like, a fun angle.
Right.
But there was no, like, the only fun rumor we had was the Mendoza son on TikTok.
Right.
Like, that was the only time where it was like, okay, this is kind of funny, but it also might be true. Like, no one actually knows. Like, everything else was just blatantly false. And I think that took a lot of the fun out of it. And I guess because he was such a good player, like, I guess that makes a difference, like, in a lot of the free agencies. But, I mean, it was generational money, but I think it was just wasn't overall, like, a fun free agency. Whereas most teams, like, our most stars, like, the Aaron Judge one, go back to that, he, like, went to the San Francisco hotel, and he was like, oh, what are you doing? He was like, oh, I'm visiting family. Like, you never got any of that.
Yeah.
And you got the great Aaron Judge moment out of that whole saga.
Yeah.
But with Soto,
I know this is not what this episode is about, but y'all saw the Heyman crash.
Yeah,
out,
that
right?
was.
Yeah,
that was wrong. That was very not okay for them to. I forget. It was McPherson.
Keith McPherson.
It was a valid crash out, I think.
No, that's what I was gonna say. Keith McPherson was a real jackass on that show. That was ridiculous. Like, to have somebody on and they take their time out of their day to be on your show, and you
late night show.
Yeah, and take time out of their night, really. Yeah, and just like proceed to mock them on the show. That's just a nice little sidebar I want to make. That he's a jerk for that, and John Heyman's crash out was completely justified.
And then I think we need to touch now on the Yankee side of things.
Yes,
because
we do.
You did offer $760 million to a player that was so important to you last season, and one of the main reasons why you made the World Series. I mean, so often during last year, we talked about the Yankees' offense legitimately being just a 1-2 punch between Aaron Judge and Juan Soto, and now you've lost half of that 1-2 punch. But I guess the good news, Owen, I guess you laid it this way, is you have all that money to spend now, and there's still plenty of free agents out there, but where do the Yankees pivot from here after losing Soto?
I mean, I don't know if they have, like, that much money. I don't see them going above the $300 million that they would have been willing to if they kept Soto. But they need to spread the money out. And I've been worried that, like, it'll be a repeat of the Cano saga where it was like, well, we lost a guy to a huge contract. Let's just go throw money at anyone and just hope they turn out. Like, I don't want to see them throwing money at Bregman or a Santander. Like, I think, in my opinion, like, these guys' best years are behind them, especially Bregman doesn't fit at all in Yankee Stadium. He's a guy that took advantage of the Crawford boxes. That's why I think he'd be perfect if he went to the Red Sox, because of Fenway, left field, he'd be a doubles machine there. But for the Yankees, I think they have to go out and get an elite bat, and I don't think that's on the free agency market. So I think you look at Kyle Tucker, who the Astros have said is available. I doubt the Astros would trade him to the Yankees after the rivalry, but, I mean, if the Yankees offer the prospects, I think you put that to the side. And then the Twins have mentioned that Carlos Correa could be available for a trade, which another guy, like, former Astro, Don't know if Brian Cashman want to go after him, but they have to get an elite bat, and I think they have another starting pitcher. Came out today that it's between the Yankees and the Red Sox for Max Fried. I think you have to get a Max Fried or Corbin Burns to shore up the rotation. And then just get an elite bat and then just supplement the roster with better hitters. If you can get like a Cody Bellinger that won't cost much for first base or center field, depending on if you get Kyle Tucker. Like, you need just instead of raising the ceiling of this team, I think you need to raise the floor of the team. Like, last year the ceiling was wherever Juan Soto and Aaron Judge took you. I think this year you have to look at it as how well-rounded can we build this roster, even if it's not full of elite hitters, but just good, well-rounded players overall.
Two words for the New York Yankees. Christian Walker.
I don't know. He's old.
I don't care. He can hit, dude. You guys need a bat. Like, that's the thing. I don't even know if right now, I don't even, like, especially coming fresh off the World Series and falling just, you know, a few games short of a World Series, winning a pennant, like, this team is going to look so different next year that I don't even know if this next season is, like, a season you start making, like, super long-term plans for. You know
I mean? Agree
like,
with that. Like, I don't think you make any long-term deals
which
unless
is why
they are, like, an elite unless player. Unless it's, like, Kyle Tucker, if
yeah.
you trade for him and extend it.
Right. So, I don't know. Just coming off, you're probably – Rizzo's done. Rizzo's gone.
And they said Glaber, yeah. they don't really have interest coming back. But Susan Waldman said today that she thinks, like, Glaber's hoping that the Yankees would – call him back and hopefully bring him back.
He seems like he enjoys it there, but I mean, at the same time, his value has gone up. And I think, but here's the thing, I think a lot of people felt like Glaber walking was a certainty because they were going to try to pace Juan Soto. And now that that's out the door, maybe Glaber comes back into the equation. Or if they're not interested, they're not interested. I don't know why they wouldn't be interested because he was so good this year.
I think it's because he's inconsistent. Like
I agree.
Trade deadline, post trade deadline demon. Like if he thinks he's getting traded, mentally he does not hit well. So like this first half of the season, since it was his last year in a contract year, was like so worried about getting traded, didn't get traded, then he bats like 300 the rest of the year.
Right, but right now and. Bless his heart, he was so kind to Nick Palmer and I when we interviewed him. But if the season began today, your first baseman is Ben Rice. So I think Christian Walker, while yes, he's old, first of all, that could probably get you a team friendly. Maybe not like you're gonna lowball him or anything, but it could get you a more team friendly
deal maybe.
And over the past, I think three seasons, I think he's got like 95 homers. He's got like
very good against the Dodgers too.
Yeah, very good against the Dodgers. Like he's a experienced guy. He was one of the best bats in the lineup for Arizona in a relatively quiet year for them. That's one of the first offensive looks I'd be taking if I was the Yankees.
Angel, for you,
not
what's plan B for the what should plan B be for the Yankees?
Not only do I agree with the Walker signing because not only do we need the bat, we need the defense. That's one thing that Yankees always lacked. Each year was defense, and it's something that they need to address. I don't think Torres comes back. I think because they didn't give him the qualifying offer, he'll come back if, you know,
the
price is right.
I think maybe a one-year deal, high value, like high money one-year deal.
They don't want to give him high money at all. I mean, the qualifying offer was like 20 mil. They don't even think he's worth 20 mil.
I think they didn't give it to him because they were worried he'd accept it.
Yeah.
Like,
he
if it was a long-term deal,
he
would have
accepted it because he knows
20.
His market is not that high anymore. So I think we're out on Torres. I like Walker. I think most of the moves for the Yankees, honestly, has to be through trades. You have to get someone like a Cody Bellinger to play either first base or center field. You need to make sure Judge is out of center field and even back in right field. So any moves for, like, Hernandez and Santander, I think, should be out the window. I don't like any of those guys, per se, to fit the Yankees. And then you need either a third baseman or a second baseman. I know there's been talks about the Yankees getting – engaged with trade talks with the Cardinals for Nolan Arenado. He's also a guy who's on the older side and his contract
he's
is
like
hefty.
That's Josh Donaldson 2.0.
I don't think so.
Really?
I don't think he's a Josh Donaldson 2.0. I think you take the Gold Glove defense that he was in the past and like he's still a guy that can get on base. I think that's also another thing that you need to worry about is people who can get on base. Forget about the high average guys. If you can work around a walk or obviously get a hit, then that's what the Yankees need around someone like Judge. You don't need, you know, 40-plus homers and all that production, the power side that Soto gave us behind and in front of Judge when you also have Stanton, other people who can, you know, give out that power. But looking at the free agency market, there's really not that many you know, big name bats I think the Yankees are going to look at besides Walker. And I know a lot of people on Twitter now say Mets stole Soto from the Yankees, so we should steal Alonso from the Mets. And that's one move I wouldn't do per se.
Do that.
I wouldn't.
You guys don't want Pete.
I don't want Pete. I ain't gonna lie.
That'd be something the Mets would do. I feel like
forget about the little brother move, bro. Like it's Pete Alonso.
Can you imagine Pete Alonso and Aaron Judge on the same team? Like I feel like that shouldn't fit. Like they don't. Their vibes.
That doesn't sound right.
Like the vibe of them, the clubhouse, it would just not go together. I don't think.
Nah, I wouldn't for sure. But so that's why I like Christian Walker. He's like, you know, 34. So you give him like a 2-year deal until he's like 36 or 3-year to 37. I think he'll still be like Gold Glove and give you like 20 to 30 home runs. So I'm not worried about that. But honestly, there's not. It sounds like there's a lot of moves that the Yankees can make, but there's really not at the same
it's
time.
It's really all in the trade market.
It's really a trade market kind of all season for the Yankees. And if you look at free agency, I think the main thing is sign one of Burns and Freed and then work from there.
Yeah, I have to agree with that. You sign one of the pitchers, and I think for bats, maybe Walker's really the only free agent bat that I really have interest in. Like Angel said, like Santander and Teoscar Hernandez moved Judge out of right field. Like the priority has to be getting him back to right field this year. I mean, he's huge. Like the wear and tear on his body in center field, and he wasn't like
– He was a bad center
the fielder. Analytics say is like center field was not good. So you want to get him back to right where he was a Gold Glove finalist a couple times. And like just like the bats of Santander and Teoscar and Bregman, I just don't think replace Soto and financially handicap you for a lot longer than you'd want.
The bats are good. It's just the defense is not there with any of those players. I mean, Bregman is not bad at third base, obviously, but you're going to put Hernandez or Santander in the outfield when they're already bad defenders when you had Soto as a bad defender last year.
And you saw how that worked out.
Exactly. So and if you have someone bad playing, also you have Dominguez who is in the making for left field and his defense was shaky as well. So like you need to prioritize defense if you're the Yankees team. That's ultimately what lost you game 5 in the World Series. And you know you can get the offensive production through trades and hopefully someone like Christian Walker in free agency. I really just think that that's the priority right now is get players that know how to play the position and the hitting will get there if it's through the player who, you know, they're good at it or just get through there throughout the season. You'll just see like little improvements from last season that is not from the naked eye because, you know, you're losing a big name like Juan Soto. So you think anyone besides him is a huge downgrade. But ultimately, they're not going to be if you just piece the right, you know, pieces together.
So not the offseason that Yankees fans imagine they'd have to go through, but still some interesting possibilities. None quite like Juan Soto, but still some interesting possibilities out there, whether it's through free agency or trades, to try to beef up this team. So if it's a 15-year contract, that takes us to 2039?
My God. I'll
be 37?
Yeah, I'll be 35.
I'll be 36.
36, yeah.
Wow.
That's ridiculous. I don't like thinking about that.
He'll be 42.
He'll be 42 years old.
And Juan Soto will be $765 million richer. Maybe 800. Probably 800, I'd say, if the first 5 years
go well. He's
going to
make almost a billion dollars in his career.
No, because the first 5 years, it's going to be he's going to be playing defense and his legs aren't going to have gone. So
also,
they're going to and especially clause. He's going to opt out because he's going to want to, if he's playing that well, he's going to want to hit free agency again.
Also, if he, he's already, what was his, the deal that he, that little spoof commercial he did with Celsius. He's now a Celsius brand ambassador. Yeah. So that's one endorsement. My guess is there'll be other endorsements as well.
He made $31 million from the Yankees last year.
He'll get a cleat. He'll get all sorts of
multiple
different stuff.
Revenue.
This guy is going to be worth a billion and a half by probably age 50.
That's insane to think about. Like as just playing baseball, he's going to make almost $1 billion.
Nick, can I ask you one question?
Yeah.
Being the Mets fan here, you hear the contract numbers, right? And you hear all that. He's obviously a generational talent, but to me, like I'm not even trying to sound like a hater, knowing that he's not on my team anymore. To me, he does two things excellent. Like top tier when it comes to hitting and his discipline, but everything else to me is just mid in my opinion. Do you think his kind of like also stubbornness as a character might hurt the team throughout the years? He's the kind of guy that I don't think wants to DH. He wants to be in the field. He's the kind of guy that probably doesn't want to move from right field to go to like left or anywhere else and help, you know. He's probably a guy that wants to always bat somewhere in the lineup. Do you think that could get in the way? And now you just gave him $800 million and hoping that this works out within the next 15 years.
Well, I think at this point he can do whatever he wants just based on the perks that he's gotten out of that contract. But I think in terms of him being a player that can only do like two things, like you said, but he does them the best out of anyone.
I mean, he finished
third in the MVP voting. He would have finished higher if it wasn't for, you know, the insane seasons that Judge and Witt had.
He would have won if they both weren't like
the reason why. It's not like he's a traditional power hitter where you're really worried about the way the bat is going to age. The plate discipline is the reason why I'm okay with this, because that's not going to go away. In his 30s, that level of discipline.
I don't think he'll ever lose the discipline.
Even so, that even late in his career's OPS is still going to be up there because he's getting on base and hopefully still hitting for power. Yes, the glove isn't there, but I think at the end of the day, this was the move you had to make. I think symbolically to show that you're here to compete. You don't really care where you're spending this money. You just want to win the World Series. I think Juan Soto as a bat transforms this lineup in more ways than one.
Yep.
Hitting him wherever you end up wanting
to hit.
He changes.
Like, if you look at the Yankees lineup last year, it's two good hitters.
Instantly changes.
He could be the only hitter in the lineup. He fully changes that.
I mean,
lineup.
Think about last year, it was a Marte Winker platoon in right field. Now it's Juan Soto. That's and yes, it's a lot of money. It's not my money. It's Steve Cohen's money. I just think I get why people are saying that's a lot of money for that much time, but I feel like even if he doesn't play the full 15 years, the Mets have the resources. It's not like they're just pouring the money into Juan Soto. Lindor signed to a mega deal. All these other guys are under long-term contracts. You still have money to play around with because your billionaire owner's filthy rich.
It doesn't care about anything.
And doesn't care about anything except for winning. So I'm just so excited about this deal. And I understand why people are trying to point towards the drawbacks. I think right now, before it even started, these first couple years – And you know, you don't want to jinx anything, but in terms of he's healthy too.
He's played almost every
game of his career.
You're gonna get like 7 to 8 years of that contract in like prime.
I think that's worth it.
And I think 100% I think that's worth it.
I think the only surprise,
if you get one ring in this 15 years, it's worth it.
Yeah.
Especially for the Mets who haven't won
one ring in 15.
For the Mets, I mean,
you want three.
Of course you want more than one, but I think you start with one. You start with one with the Mets franchise that's only won in 1986 and 1969.
Yeah, I mean, perennial losers.
You start with one.
I just think the one thing that would surprise me now throughout this rest of the offseason is if this is the only move the Mets make.
I'm not saying it won't be.
Because it wasn't even the first move they made. If you really think about it, like Frankie Montas was a big get for them.
And they overpaid Montas and Holmes. Like, they just clearly don't care.
Yeah.
But it gets to a point where you know you're in win now mode for at least until 2029 before the opt out in the contract. So you need, I'm not saying you need the best players in every position, but you can't always go for the reliable options or just throwing names out there on a lineup or rotation or bullpen. So now you have to look at guys who can help the bullpen and the rotation, not just guys who can be a possible third, fourth, fifth option. You know, I think you need the ace. I think you need another one or two in the bullpen. And
your aces are Sean Manaea and David Peterson right now, at least.
Well, if they re-sign Sean Manaea,
no, but that's what I'm saying is they need to sign Sean Manaea is what I'm saying after the season that he just had.
They need to sign him, or if they don't want to sign him, then it has to be a Burns, in my opinion. But I think Manaea is
better. He'll be cheaper.
Yeah, Manaea will be cheaper, and I think him being
and
with the Mets already
Indies.
Feel
yeah.
better. But I'm also looking at your lineup. You know, the bottom tier lineup is not the best either. I'm not trying to, like, hate or not. But I'm just thinking about the rest. Like, you have – I'm just projecting line right here. It would probably be a Lindor, Soto, Vientos as your top three.
Sure.
Yeah. Right?
That's nasty.
That's going to be one of the best in the league. But now let's look at the other positions. Who plays second base? Would it be McNeil?
McNeil's still under contract.
You need McNeil to go back to his high batting average days for that to look good, in my opinion. Vientos is either first or third base, so then now you need someone to fill the other position. Figure out who that would be. You still need to figure out – Bader's not on a contract, right?
No, Bader's
so
a free
need,
agent.
So you need a center
right now it's
fielder.
Projected Tyrone Taylor.
Tyrone Taylor and Jose –
he's not
– Taylor and Jose Siri are the
That's
center
right.
Fielders.
You did trade for Siri. Siri's not a good bat. He's – just for defensive
purposes. He hits for power, but like not
he's,
a high
But I think when you have
guy.
He's a home runner
when you have
guy.
All the other I think I mean last year the Mets prioritized defense and center field, and I think it worked out pretty well.
Tyrone Taylor's awesome.
And I think Taylor's awesome out there. Nimmo needs to have a better year in left field, obviously.
I think he's the factor in all this, because you know what Soto, Lindor, and Vientos is going to give you if Nimmo and McNeil can kind of come back to their...
I don't know if you expect anything from McNeil anymore. Right?
No, I don't think... I'm not expecting anything from McNeil.
I'm expecting... You know what I'm expecting at a certain point is a platoon with Acuña. And then it'll slowly shift from a platoon to Ronald Acuña. Acuña. Luis Angel Acuña is
that
your
would be
second
great.
Baseman.
And people have forgotten about Ronnie Mauricio because he tore his ACL last year. There's pieces in there that, and I don't think the Mets are done making moves on offense. I think they're going to get either a third baseman or re-sign Pete Alonso and keep Vientos at third. But I think, yes, there's still holes in this Mets lineup, but I feel like they've demonstrated with they don't care, and they're going to spend the money.
I think you sign Alonso to another one-year deal or a short-term deal, a two or three-year deal that is mutually friendly, allows, you know, opt-outs or whatever. Not an opt-out, but just something that's low stakes but sweetens the pot enough for him to want to come back so that you can kind of test, like, hey, was this last season a fluke or have you really lost it?
I mean, also, what is his market? What other teams are even looking at him right now?
I mean, I would imagine there's other teams in the market for a first baseman.
Like, I haven't seen, though, any, like, rumors of, like, I saw maybe the Marlins at one point, but they're the Marlins. I don't see the Yankees going to take Pete Alonso from the Mets and the Scott Boras client. Like, I feel like they're going to try to shy away from maybe Boras this offseason.
I think the Mets end up bringing him back.
I do too.
Like, when it's all said.
I don't think it'll be a huge deal too because his market's not. I don't know if any team's like going to give him massive money, and like I feel like he'd want to be back being the Mets, and it's like, all right, I'll take a little less money to stay.
Yeah, he should give the Mets a discount, in my opinion.
Especially how bad he was last year.
Yeah, but he saved himself in the playoffs.
Run saved.
Think you know who else is looking for a first baseman though? Probably most likely is Houston.
Yeah,
because after Jose Abreu kind of crashed and burned, and then it was like a platoon of like John Singleton, Mauricio Dubon.
I mean, are they still trying to contend? Like, they're not paying Kyle Tucker, but they're willing to try to pay
Alex
Bregman. And like the I don't know what's up with them. They still got Altuve.
I don't think they're gonna trade them. They are willing.
I think they'll trade Kyle Tucker because they don't. They don't want to pay him.
Either Tucker or Bregman is gone. I think one of them is gone
because they're not gonna pay him. They're not handing out a $400 million.
They already
contract.
Gave Bregman a contract for.
They offered him,
six,
but it was like low.
6 years and like
it was, but it was
20-something.
He wanted something better though.
He wants like high end, like top tier money.
He wants to get to 200. They didn't give him that.
I'm not giving him that.
I wouldn't. I mean, his
he's
best
good.
Year, his best years are behind him as a bat.
Yeah.
100%. Like, $200 million for him, especially he's, what, 30, 31 now? Like, that'd be a weird.
You're basically buying out the rest of his prime-ish career.
I don't think he fits for the Yankees. I mean, on a good deal, he'd be perfect for the Red Sox.
Yeah.
The way his swing is would
fit it'd be
fantastic. For
Fenway. It'd be fantastic.
It's similar to how Verdugo was only good at Fenway Park. Like,
here's an article right here. Houston Astros GM still feels optimistic about bringing back Alex Bregman.
There you go. It's going to be interesting to see the way the rest of free agency pans out, considering this is the biggest domino, and it's fallen. It's going to have repercussions based on what other teams do, what the Mets do, what the Yankees now have to do without Juan Soto. But the big news is 15 years, $765 million. Juan Soto is a Met.
Unreal.
For the foreseeable future, I'm very happy. I know Owen and Angel are not. Jack, did you guys have a chance at it?
The Yankees don't have him, so there was a chance for two wins.
There's two winners here. But that'll just about do it here for our emergency episode of Nosebleeds. Nick Guzman, Jack Warner, Owen Kelty, Angel Ducret in the back, helping us out on production and on the mic. Nosebleeds is a production of WFUV Sports.